Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Hey. We left off on daf Dalid Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud at the two dots about two, four, six lines up from the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously by friends of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbut in commemoration of his second yahrzeit, Rav Baruch Tzvi ben Reuven Nasan, Zichrona Levracha. His neshama should have an aliyah, and we thank the sponsors very much for their sponsorship and support of the shiur. Today we are going to focus on the sukkah, which is less than 10 tefachim tall. So you'll recall over the past couple of days, we were talking about two types of sukkahs which are not kosher. We started the Masechta by talking about the sukkah that was too tall, where the schach was amala mechaf amma, and then yesterday we started to focus also on the sukkah whose schach was too low to the ground. So it was a sukkah lamala me yud tfachim. We also saw yesterday the concept, we saw three concepts yesterday. We saw the concept of dofen akuma, we saw the concept of lavud, we also saw the concept of good asik mechitza, where we have imaginary mechitzas that might go all the way up to the sky. What we also saw yesterday was the fact that a mechitza itself must be 10 tefachim high in order to be considered a valid mechitza. So in other words, in addition to the din that the schach can't be hanging down lower than 10 tefachim, because we had seen in the Gemara that that's called a dira srucha, that that's called an odious dwelling. It's people can't live like that when things are hanging down so low. We also saw that in order to be a valid mechitza, something has to be 10 tefachim high. Today we're going to focus exclusively on how we know that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall, how we know that less than 10 tefachim is not the mechitza, what's the makar. So the makar is going to be from the Kelim and the Mishkan, from the Aron specifically. We're going to discuss that a lot in today's shiur. So let's get going. It says in the Gemara, two dots, six lines up from the bottom of the page on Dalid Amud Beis, V'she'ina gavoa asar tefachim. So we said that a sukkah which is not even 10 tefachim tall is going to be pasul. So says the Gemara, minolan, how do we know that anything less than 10 tefachim is not called a mechitza? And Tosfos says over here at the bottom of the page, v'hadabi'ina nami gabe shabbos mechitza asara mehecha yalfinan. This question is a broader question than simply a halacha legabe sukkah. So in other words, we're not asking how do we know that the schach necessarily has to be 10 tefachim tall. We're asking a more fundamental question, and that's why I mentioned we're talking about the shear of a mechitza. We're talking about the size that the wall needs to be, because whatever the appropriate size of mechitza is going to be for sukkah, so too the appropriate size of the mechitza is going to be for Hilchas Shabbos. And that's why Tosfos says this is a fundamental question, not having to do with the schach per se, but rather having to do with the walls. So how do we know that something is a valid mechitza only if it is 10 tefachim high? So says the Gemara, Itmar, Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, Masnu, Bekula, Seder, Moed, Kalki, Aigabna, Zuga, Klufa, Rav Yochanan, Amayla, Rav Yonasan. So it's three rabbis. It's Rav, Rabbi Chanina, and either Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yonasan. So they said that we learn it as follows, because Aron Tisha, the Aron in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash, was 9 tefachim high. And how do we know that? Says Rashi, because it says in the pasuk Amma v'chetzi kamaso, that the Aron was an Amma and a half tall, and it was an Amma and a half high. And what do we know about the Amma? The size of an Amma was 6 tefachim, we're going to assume for now. We're going to get later in the daf, we're going to cite a machlokas about this, but right now the Gemara is taking for granted that an Amma is 6 tefachim, so an Amma and a half is going to be 9 tefachim. The kapores tefach, and the kapores, which is the cover on top of the Aron, adds another tefach of height. Harekan asara. So that is asara tefachim. Okay, great. So the Aron's asara tefachim. So what does that have to do with the mechitza? Uchsiv, v'no adati l'cha sham, v'dibarta itcha me'al hakapores. And it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he's going to appear to Klal Yisrael from on top of the kapores. Okay, still, what does it have to do with anything? How does this instruct us as to the height of a mechitza, as to the minimum shear of a mechitza? So says the Gemara now as follows on Hey Amid Aleph. So Vitanya, Rav Yossi Omer, Me'olam Liyorta Shechina Lamata. So we have two fundamental precepts. Number one, the Shechina never came down to this world. In other words, the Shekhinah remains in Shemayim and never comes down to what we call Aretz. However, if we know that the Pasuk tells us that the Shekhinah appears on top of the Kapores, that the Shekhinah is going to appear on top of the Aron, yet we also know that the Shekhinah doesn't come down to what we consider the earth. So it's obvious that 10 Tefachim above what we consider the earth is not really considered the earth, because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come down all the way to the earth, but yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu was down speaking to us, the Shekhinah was speaking to us from top of the Kapores. So it's obvious that there's some sort of Hefsik, there's some sort of different Rishus that is formed by this 10 Tefachim differential between the earth and the space on top of the Kapores. So that's thing number one, that the Shekhinah never comes down to the earth. And that's how we learn that the Mechitza must be Asara Tvachim, because on top of Asara, on top of the Kaporas, must be a different type of Rishus. The corollary to this, which isn't necessary to teach us the Halacha, but the Gemara will teach us the flip side of the Shekhinah not coming down to the earth, is V'la'olo Moshe V'liyo Lamarom. And similarly, Moshe and Eliyo Anavi never went up to what we call Shamayim. Shenemar HaShamayim Shamayim LaHashem, V'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. Famous pasuk, we read it when we say Hallel. So we say HaShamayim Shamayim LaHashem, Hashem stays up in Shamayim, the men stay down here, people have to stay down here, and here's how we know that, again, that 10 Tefachim is considered to be a Mechitza, it's considered to be a different Rishus, because if Hashem has to stay up in Shamayim, yet Hashem comes down to the top of Kapores, and it's still called as if Hashem never comes down to the earth, we know that that's obviously got to be a different type of, it's going to be a different Rishus, because there's a Mechitza. Says the Gemara, but let me question this principle. So let's ask on this. V'lo yorda Shekhinah lamata. Is it possible that the Shekhinah never comes lamata meyud tfachim? So and the Oruch Laner, it basically says that this brisa means that not only did the Shekhinah historically never come lamata miyud tfachim, that it never can come lamata miyud tfachim. And therefore, the Gemara is going to ask from various sources. We saw that the Shekhinah was already been beneath, not beneath 10 tfachim necessarily, but we already saw that the Shekhinah has come down to the earth. Vaksiv vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. That Hashem came down on our Sinai. So how could you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never comes down anywhere on this world if we know that when, at the time of Matan Torah, the Shekhinah was literally on our Sinai? Says the Gemara, Lamala Me'asara Tvachim. Now, the Shekhinah was hovering on top of our Sinai, but it made sure to stay Lamala Me'yud Tvachim. Why? Again, because Yud Tvachim is the cutoff for Rishus. Had the Shekhinah been less than 10 Tvachim from the top of our Sinai, that would have been considered the ground. And we know the Shekhinah doesn't come to the ground. Says the Gemara, Vachsiv Yamdu Raglov Bayomahu Al Harazesim. Again, speaking anthropomorphically about the Shekhinah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's legs, Kaviyachal, are going to stand on Harazesim. So on Harazesim means that they're standing on the ground. And so we see that the Shekhinah does come and stand on this earth. Says the Gemara, Lamalame Asorat Vacham. Again, no, what it means is that it's close to Harazesim, but not really on Harazesim. Below Ola Moshe V'Elio Lamarim. Now the Gemara is now going to question the flip side of it. So, and Moshe and Elio never went up to Shemayim. V'aksiv u'Moshe ala el helokim. So that Moshe went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, lamata me'asara. It means he went within 10 tfachim of the Shemayim. So, what we see over here already is that there is a place called Aretz that we're very familiar with because we're standing on it. There's a place called Shamayim, which doesn't mean everything in the air. That's the heavens, and we don't know exactly where the heavens is, but however many heavens there were before the heaven where the Shekhinah rests, that's where the Shekhinah is. And Shekhinah can't come within 10 tefachim of the earth, and man can't go within 10 tefachim of whatever the Shamayim is. It doesn't mean the sky, obviously, because we go in the sky all the time. For example, when we fly in a plane, people go into space. That's not what it means. What it means is that you can't come within 10 tefachim of the Shamayim where the Shekhinah is. Everything else in the middle, sure, sometimes the Shekhinah comes here, sometimes we could go there. But what it means is neither can encroach on the others, absolute space. That the Shekhinah doesn't come down here, we can't go within 10 tefachim of the actual Shamayim where the Shekhinah resides. And so when it says V'moshe al Elokim, that means that, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was in the sky. He was somewhere in the heavens, but he was more than 10 tefachim away from the heaven where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was found. Aye, says the Gemara, Vayter V'achziv Ayal Eliyo B'Sa'ara Shamayim, that Eliyo went up in a whirlwind and to Shemayim. So doesn't that prove that Elio wasn't Shemayim? So how could you say that mankind can never go up to Shemayim if it says that Elio went up to the went up to Shemayim in a whirlwind? Says the Gemara again, Lamata Me'asara. No, he was ten tefachim. He was ten tefachim away from what from the Shemayim where the Shekhinah actually was. I vachziv me'achez pnei kisei. That Elio was grabbing the leg of the kisei hakavod. Parzeis of love anano, and it's spread on Elio, it's cloud. The Emor of Tancha Melame Shapiresh Shakai Meziv Shchinaso Vaanano Alav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread some of the glory, the splendor of the Shekhinah on Elio. So we see Elio was right up there by the Kisei HaKavod, says the Gemara, Lamata Me'asara. No, he was more than 10 tefachim away from wherever the Kisei HaKavod was. And again, using our general rule of thumb, that within 10 tefachim is the same Rishos, outside of 10 tefachim is not the same Rishos. He was almost there, but he wasn't quite there. Says the Gemara, that doesn't work. You could explain what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing based on this. However, the Pasuk of Elio says two things. A, he was right by the Kisei HaKavod, but he was grabbing the Kisei HaKavod. So how could it be that he wasn't right up next to the Kisei HaKavod if we say that he was grabbing it? So Mekol Malkom Aches Pnei Kisei HaKavod Ksiv, it says that he was grabbing the Kisei HaKavod, so obviously he was right there. Says the Gemara, Ishtarbube, Ishtabrable Kisei Adasara, Menakatbe. Ah, well, there were two ways he could have been grabbing the Kisei HaKavod. Either because Elio was all the way up where the Kisei HaKavod was, he was all the way up at Shemayim, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowered the Kisei HaKavod to right near that 10 tefach barrier, and therefore Elio was able to grab it still from beneath 10 tefachim. So says the Gemara, that's how we're going to interpret whatever any of this means. That's how we're going to interpret it so that we can envision that Elio was up, but not all the way up, because we take it as a fundamental precept. Man cannot be all the way up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot come all the way down. So says the Gemara, back to reality. So again, the reason that we're talking about all this is because we're trying to establish that 10 tefach, that the 10 tefach height is considered to be a mechitza, because above 10 tefachim is a different rishos. So we're always familiar with rishos, again, lagabe hilcha Shabbos, we're familiar with mechitzas, lagabe hilcha Shabbos, hilchos mechitza. The way we prove that it was a separate rishos was that man has his own domain, God has his own domain, kaviyachol, and neither can encroach in the other's domain, and the domain is, there's a 10 tefach buffer between the earth on the one hand and between the shamayim on the other hand. Says the Gemara, but how do we know that the Aron was 9 tefachim tall? So, Bishlama Aron Tisha, so I understand that's already in a pasuk. How do I know? Because it says in the pasuk, Chsiv, we saw this pasuk already, we quoted Rashi, Yosu Aron Atzei Shitim, and they would make an Aron of Atzei Shitim, Amasayim V'chetzi Yarko, 2.5 tefach in length, V'alma V'chetzi Rachbo, and a tefach and a half of width, V'alma V'chetzi Kamaso, and an Amma V'chetzi in height. And again, we're talking about Amma Bas Shisha Tvachim. So if an Amma Shisha Tvachim, an Amma and a half is going to be 9 Tvachim. But says the Gemara, Ella Kapores Tefach Minolon. How do we know that the Kapores is a Tefach? Because we were adding the 1 Tefach to the 9.5 Tvachim. And that's how we were getting the fact that a ten Tvachim equals a Mechitza, equals a Rishos. So the Tani Reb Chanina, Kol HaKelem Shasa Moshe, Nasna Behem Torah, Midas Arkon, Midas Rachman, Midas Kamasan. All the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu built, the Torah specified their length, their width, and their height. Kapores, however, by the kapores, it was unique. Midas arko, midas rachbo, nasna. The Torah gave the midah of the orech and the rochev, the length and the width of the kapores. However, midas kamasa lo nasna. However, the Torah didn't give the shear for the height of the kapores. So we don't know what to do, so now we're stuck. We know there's a kapores, we know that it's got to be wide enough to fit right on top of the aron, but we don't know how high the kapores, the cover of the aron, has to be. So says the Gemara, Tzei Laman mi pacha shebekelim. So we have to learn that we have to try to figure out what the sheer pachos is, what the lowest sheer is by the kelim in the Mishkan. And then we can deduce that it's probably that size, because no size is specified, so it could be like really tiny, but we're not going to make it really tiny just without a baseline to at least something else. some other shear kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. And Emar Vasisalom is Geres Tefach Saviv. It says that you have to make a border surrounding the Shulchan. So, and the Mizgeres has got to be a Mizgeres of a Tefach. So Malal on Tefach, Afkan Tefach. Just like the Mizgeres is a Tefach, and that's the smallest shear of a Kli in the Mishkan, so too the Kapores, the height of the Kapores is going to be a Tefach. Says the Gemara, V'nelef mekelim gufayu, but why don't we learn it from the kelim themselves and not from the mizgeres? In other words, we're saying we don't know how high the kaporis is. And we're saying we're going to learn it from the minimum shear of a kli in the Mishkan. And then we're bringing a raya from the mizgeres, which is an accoutrement to the shulchan, and we're saying just like the mizgeres was a tefach, so too the width of the kaporis was a tefach. But the problem is, if we're trying to compare the kaporis to a kli, the mizgeres is not a kli. The shulchan is a kli. So if you want to give me a minimum shear that the shulchan has, that's fine, but you're going to give me a minimum shear that the mizgeres has, that's not a standalone kli. So why don't we learn it from a kli and not from a mizgeres? Says the Gemara, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. Because a fundamental principle in Shas, in life, frankly, and it's going to come up a couple of times in this daf, try to get greedy and grab too much, it's not going to work out for you. The saying that I've heard in the business is pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. That's what they say. So, in other words, you try to grab too much, you're going to wind up shooting yourself in the foot. The reason is the reason in Svara for this that Rashi says is because we know that there's got to be a minimum shear because the shear has got to imply a minimum, right? So if you take the minimum, at least you know you fulfilled your mitzvah. Let's say if you want to go past the minimum, like if you decide you don't want to make it a tefach, you want to make it the kapores 10 tefachim high. So you know, we know that there is a minimum shear. That minimum shear is definitely a minimum, meaning you are a yotze if you take that minimum. If you do better than that, if you do more than that, you might get it right. You might guess right that it might be the right thickness. You might guess wrong, in which case you're making it the wrong height. So says Rashi, you don't want to get into a guessing game. You don't want to put yourself in a position of sveika, and therefore, if there is an implied minimum shear, just take the minimum shear, right? Be modest, take the minimum shear, and at least that way you know you've got your thing and you're not going to try to get too greedy and try to get more and thereby wind up with nothing. Says the Gemara now weiter. Okay, so now I understand why we're not going to learn it from the Shulchan itself. We're going to learn it from the Mizgeres because we want to go, again, with a minimum. We want to go with the most modest shear possible. But says the Gemara, if you're looking for the most modest shear, for the smallest shear in the Mishkan, that isn't the Tefach, V'nelef Mitzitz. Why don't we learn it out from the Tzitz? The Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, Tzitz, Dome, Kamin, Tas, Shalzov. The Tzitz was a little plate of gold. The Rach of Beis Esbos, and it was two tfachim, two finger widths wide, umukaf me ozen li ozen, and it spanned from ear to ear. So before we get to what was written on the tzitz, Beis Esbos is a chatzi tefach. It's only a half a tefach. So if we're looking for the minimum shear of thickness for the kapores, why are we saying it's a tefach and we're learning it from the mizgeres on the shulchan? Why don't we say it's a half a tefach and we'll learn it from the width of the tzitz? Now, because of a love, what was written on the tzitz? Beis shitin, there were two rows, yud kei milamala, v'kodosh lamid milamata. So it says, it was supposed to say kodosh lashem. But what's apparent is, there's a machlokas Rashi Tosfos, which we're going to get to in a second, it didn't say kodosh lashem the way we would write Kodesh Lashem, that we would start, you know, writing in Hebrew, we would write from right to left, we would say Kodesh, and then Lashem. And for example, even if there were two lines, we would write on the top line Kodesh, and on the bottom line Lashem. Now it's important to note also, when we say Lashem, even though the Gemara says Yud Kei, it was actually the Shem Shel Dalet Osios, it was Yud Kei Vav Kei that was written on the Tzitz. So Rashi says that what they would write was, that he just says Kodesh Lamid Milmata Garsinan, but the way the Mefarshim explain Rashi is that the Tzitz actually said on the top line Yud Kei Vav Kei, because it says Yud Kei Vav Kei Lamala and Kodesh La Lamata, so it says Yud Kei Vav Kei on top and Kodesh Le on the bottom. Says Tosfos, that's a big problem because that's not the way people write. So says Tosfos, a couple of fundamental Tosfos in here, which we should read inside. So the top two on the page. So the first Tosfos is Yudkei Milamala. So it says, Afal Pisha Yudkei Havashem Gamur. So how's the Gemara allowed to say that what was written on the tzitz was Yudkei? Yudkei is the name of Hashem. We thought you're not allowed to say the Shem Hashem. So it says, the Gemara, Ein Zehoga Shem Beosiosa. First of all, this isn't writing the Shem Hashem. In Masker Shtei Osios, if you're only mentioning two out of the four, Kivan Deina Maskirun L'Shem Shem Shalem, because we're not intending to say the Shem Shalem. Also, Rashi says that the Isser of Hoga Hashem Beosiosav of writing down the name of Hashem is only of writing down the real Shem HaMeforesh of 42 letters, not writing down even the Shem of 4 letters, or certainly not 2 letters of the Shem. That's not Hoga Hashem Beosiosav. Other Meforeshim explain that it's not a problem if you're doing it list. Lamed, right, for example, a Sofer who's writing a Sefer Torah is obviously allowed to write down the Shem Hashem, so it's not like it's usher necessarily to write down the Shem Hashem. That's why the Gemara could say that it was Yud K Milamala. Now, on the way that the tzitz was written, Kodesh Lamed Milamata, Yesh Mefarshim Lamata Mamesh. That's Rashi that he's talking about. So some say that it's Lamata Mamesh, again, meaning the Shem Hashem was on top and Kodesh La was on the bottom. So Vzel Lamala Mizeh. Lomestaber, says Tosfos, Dein Zeh Kederach Kriyaso. Because we're saying that the tzitz says Kodesh LaHashem, but according to Rashi, it was Hashem Kodesh La. That's not the way that it's written and the way that it's read. Eloyesh Lafares Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh. So Tosfa says they were offset. They weren't right on top of the other. That Kodesh Lamed B'tchila Shita Tachtona V'Shem B'Sof Shita Elyona. So Tosfa explains like this. There were two lines in the tzitz. So on the right side, on the bottom line, it says Kodesh La, and then on the left side of the top line, it said the name of Hashem. So therefore, when you're reading in Hebrew from right to left, it would say Kodesh La Hashem. However, the Hashem was on an upper line, it was above the Kodesh La, which makes sense because the Hashem is the exalted name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore that name is literally going to be higher on the tzitz. However, it's to the left of it, at the end of the first line, so that when you're reading Hebrew from right to left, you know to read it as Kodesh LaHashem. Not like Rashi says, where they're right on top of the other, where you don't even know how to read it, because then it appears that it's Hashem Kodesh La. So fundamental machlokas Rashi Tosfos, how the tzitz, how the words Kodesh LaHashem were written on the tzitz. Now, again, let's just be mindful of the fact, the reason that we're bringing all of this down is because we're searching for the height of the kapores. We said we need the minimum shear of a kli in the Mishkan. We said that that's the mizgeres, which is a tefach. And now we're saying, no, it's not. It's a tzitz, which is only two esbos, which is a half a tefach. So, v'yamar v'lezer b'rev Yossi, back in the Gemara, third wide line, v'yamar v'lezer b'rev Yossi, ani resi b'romi, I saw the tzitz in Rome, because of a love kodesh l'Hashem b'shita achas. And he says, eyewitness account, that it said kodesh l'Hashem in one row. So how could it be that it said Kodesh LaHashem in one row? Nevertheless, the Rishonim Paskin like the Tanakama, that Kodesh LaHashem was written in two rows and two shitos because they had a Mesorah. Now the Rambam says that the Gemara, when the Gemara said that Kodesh LaHashem has to be written on Shtei Shitos, that was only a Lechatchila din. However, B'dieved, it could be written on one line. And so says the Rambam that the tzitz that Rabbi Eliezer Rav Yossi saw in Rome, where Kodesh LaHashem was all written in one line, that would have been kosher b'dieved, but not lechatchila, because the weird way of writing, the machlokas Rashi Tosfos that we just spent a couple of minutes discussing, that's a lechatchila din, it has to be written on both shitos. But again, to sum up, the question over here was, how do we know that the minimum shear is a tefach, and we learn from the mezgeres? Why do we learn that it's a chatzi tefach or two etzbos, and why do we learn it from the tzitz? Says the Gemara, danan kli mikli, vein danan kli mitachshit. Because we're going to learn a kli, the kapores, from a kli, from the mezgeres on the shulchan. We're not going to learn the kapores, the height of the kapores, from a tachshit, from a beged that the Kohen Gadol wears. Says the Gemara, v'nelef mizer, so why don't we learn it from the zer zahav, which was the little crowns on top of the kelim. The Amar Mar Zer Mashahu, and the Zer only had to be like a tiny bit high. So if we're searching for the minimum height of a kli, why don't we learn it from the mizgeres? Why don't we learn it from the zer, which is only a mashu, not a full tefach? So done on kli me kli, vein done on kli me hechsher kli. Ah, because we're going to learn a kli from a kli, not a kli from a hechsher kli. In other words, a zer is stam. It's a little knetch to beautify the kli. It's a little accoutrement, but it's not a kli itself. Says the Gemara, Ihachi Mizgeres Nami Hechsher Kliu. So isn't the Mizgeres? The Mizgeres is a border. So the border is also an accoutrement. It's also a design. It's not a Kli itself. Says the Gemara, no, Mizgarto Lamata Haisa. That what we're talking about on the Shulchan, the Mizgeres, the border on the Shulchan hung from below the tabletop, not on top. So it wasn't merely design, it was part of the kli, it was part of the kli, it was part of the binyan kli itself. Says the Gemara, Hani chalaman diyamar mizgar to lamatois, that's good according to the man diyamar, it says the mizgeres was below, el laman diyamar mizgar to lamalois, but according to the man diyamar, it says the mizgeres was above the tabletop. My ikalameimar, why don't we also call the mizgeres a simple accoutrement, a hechsher kli? Why do we call it a kli? Hi hechsher klihu. Eladon in davar shnitna batora mida, midavar shnitna batora mida, val yachiyach tzis vizar shalon inna batora mida klal. So the answer is because we know how big the mizgeres was. The mizgeres, the pasuk says, has to be a tefach. Therefore, if we don't know how high the kaporis has got to be, because the Torah doesn't give a shear for the height of the kapores, but we know that the Torah says the mizgeres has got to be a tefach. So if we're searching for how high the kapores has to be, let's learn from the mizgeres, because the Torah says it's a tefach. Let's learn it from the zer, zer zav, the little crown on top, but the Torah doesn't give me a shear for the zer zav. So I'm not helping myself. If I don't know how high the kapores has got to be, and I'm going to learn it from zer, I don't know what that baseline is teaching me, because I don't know how high that shear has got to be. Now the Sfasema says that why are we dragging tzitz in here? Why are we saying that both the zer and the tzitz don't have a shear? We just said in the Gemara that the tzitz has a shear of beis esbos, that it has a shear of a chatzi tefach. So the Sfasema says that you have to understand that the tzitz does have a midah min haTorah, it does have a shear midah raisa, but it's not mefurosh in the Torah. But it's not mefurash in the Torah at all. So the Sfasema says that there is a way to learn that the two etzbo shear by the tzitz is a din daraisa, but what we're talking about is whether the shear is mefurash in the Torah. Tosfa says another way of learning it is that the din roch of beis esbos is only a din midrabanan. That midaraisa, the shear is a mashu for the tzitz. And it's only midrabanan that it's got to be beis etzbos. So says the Gemara. Oh, good. So that's how we learn that the height of the kapores is a tefach. We're going to learn it from the mezgeres that's around the shulchan. So that's one limud. Ravuna amar meyacha. Ravuna says we learn it from here. Al panea kapores kedma. It says al panea kapores kedma. Ve'ein panim pachas mitefach, because the Torah says that the Shekhinah came al panea kapores, and there is no panim. The tzura of a face of a person, says Rashi, is a tefach. So if we're referring to the kapores as panea kapores, that means it's got to be a tefach tall. Ve'ema ka'ape, turning over debar yochni. Maybe it's like the face of a very large bird, which is much larger than a tefach. Says the Gemara again, tefasta meruba lo tefasta. The minimum shear of a face is a tefach, and if you try to go with a bigger animal and a bigger animal and a bigger animal, you don't know that you're going to get to the right shear. So let's just take the minimum and let's be happy with that. So tefasta mua tefasta ve'ema kape de tziperta. The Zutar Tuba, maybe it's like the size of a face of a tiny hummingbird, which is much smaller. So Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Ravuna Pnei Gamar. No, because he learns Pnei Pnei. Ksivach Al Pnei Kapores. It says over here Al Pnei Kapores. Ksiv Hasa Meis Pnei Yitzchak Aviv. It says Meis Pnei Yitzchak Aviv. And so we have Gzera Shava Pnei Pnei, that we're talking about the face of a person, and the face of a person is a tefach. V'neilaf Mipanim Shel Mala. Why don't we learn it from the panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, anthropomorphically speaking, Tchsiv Karos Pnei Elokim Vatertseni, and that obviously has no shear. Like, who knows how big the Pnei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And again, the Gemara says, Tafasta Meruba Lo Tafasta, Tafasta Mua Tafasta. That, no, if you try to get too greedy, then you're not going to wind up then you're not going to wind up with anything. The Achronim struggle why the Gemara keeps asking these, why the Gemara keeps asking these questions, if the answer to all of them is going to be tefasta meruba tefasta, tefasta muat lo tefasta. There are Achronim bothered by that. But in any event, what we see is that we are learning it from a person, and the shear of a punim of a person is a tefach. And therefore, when the pasuk says al pnei kapores, it's got to be that the kapores is also a tefach tall because of the gzeirah shava pnei pnei or panim panim. Says the Gemara, v'nelef mikruv. So why don't we learn it from the kruvim? The chsiv el kapores yu pnei akruvim. That on the kapores you have the pnei akruvim, the faces of the kruvim. Tamar of Achabar Yaakov gemiri, because we learn ein pnei kruvim pschusim itefach. And the pnei kruvim are not less than a tefach. So Ravuna nami me'acha gamir. So Ravuna also learns from there. So in other words, he also learns from the kruvim. I thought he learns from a human. So how could he tell me he learns from the kruvim if we just send the Gemara on the bottom of Amud Aleph that he learns from a person? So my kruv, amravavo, kravya. Well, a kruv is a kravya. A kruv, we're in the dmus of children. So in other words, you're saying that we're learning it from the size of the face of a person, and then the Gemara says, no, maybe let's learn it from the size of the face of the kruv. The face of the kruv and the face of the person is the same thing, because the kruv was in the dmus of a person, of a child. She came to Bavel, covering Linuka, Ravya, because in Bavel they would call Yinuka, they would call little children Ravya. So Amalei Abaya, Elameyata, if that's the case, Tchsiv, Pneyo Echad, Pneya Kruv, Upnei Hasheni, Pnei Adam. So when it says in the pasuk that the face of one of them, and this is from the Navi Yecheskel from the Meiser Merkava, so the face of one of them was like the Pnei Akruv, and the face of the other was Pnei Adam. But Hainu Kruv, Hainu Adam. But if the Kruv and an Adam is the same thing, when the Navi Yecheskel is trying to describe two different visions, why does it say the size of the kruv and the face of the kruv and the face of the adam if they're actually the same thing? Says the Gemara, Ape Ravre Vafer Dutre. No, because what we're talking about is we're trying to distinguish between a large face and a small face. Pnei adam is a large face. Pnei kruv, which is a child, is a small face. Umimai dechalala asara bar mischacha. Ah, so now the Gemara is going to switch gears. So we had said that the schach has to be lemala meyud tfachim. So how do we know that there's got to be 10 tefachim of airspace in the sukkah beneath the schach? In other words, how do we know that the schach itself can't be at the 10 tefach mark and then we'll have less than 10 tefachim of airspace? How do we know we need 10 tefachim of airspace and the schach on top of that? So ima bahade schacha, maybe it's 10 including the schach. How do we know it's 10 of airspace excluding the schach? And therefore, when we say schach has to be lamala miyot tefachim, we're dafka, we're being specific, because there's got to be 10 tefach of airspace. So, Ela mi beis alamin, we learn it from the beis hamikdash. Why is the beis hamikdash called the beis alamin? Because kitsha rishona, kitsha l'shaita, kitsha l'asad lovo, by the makam kedushas hamikdash. And that's why it's called the beis alamin. So we learn it from the beis hamikdash. Dechsiv. The bayis Hashem ban Amalek Shlomo LaHashem. The bayis, the base of Mikdash Shlomo Amalek built for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shishim Ama Arko, with 60 amas in length. The Esrim Rachbo, and 20 in width. Veshloshim Ama Kamaso, and 30 in height. Uchsev Komasa Kruva Echad Eser Ba'ama, and one of the Kruvim was 10 amos high. Vechena Kruva Sheni, and so too the other Kruv was also 10 amos high. Vetanya Memetzinim Bebeis Olamim Kruvim Beshlish Habayis Einomdim. So we see that the kruvim were 1/3 as tall as the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash was 30 amas high, the kruvim were 10 amas high. So mishkanami kruvim b'shlish habayis emomdim. So it must be because Shlomo was patterning the Beis HaMikdash after the Mishkan, just like by the Beis HaMikdash, the kruvim were 1/3 as tall as the Beis HaMikdash itself. So too, by the Mishkan, the kruvim must have been 1/3 as tall as the Beis HaMikdash itself. Mishkan kameave, how tall was the Mishkan? Eser amos. The Mishkan was eser amos tchsiv. Eser amos orech keresh, because the krushim of the Mishkan were 10 amos tall. So kameavilu, how tall is 10 amos? Sho shishin pushchi. It's 60 tfachim. So talsi kameave. What is 1/3 of 60 tefachim? If we're going to deal with a 1/3 ratio, just like we did in the Beis HaMikdash, what is 1/3 of 60? Esrim poshchi. So that's 20 tefachim. Now, Dal asara di aron v'kapores. So subtract from this 20 tvachim, 10 tvachim for the aron and the kapores. Pashalu asara. So is now you're left with 10 tvachim. Uchsiv v'ayu akruvim parshe knafayim lemala. So chachin b'kanfayen ala kapores. That the kruvim, their wings were extended upwards, being socheich, which is from the lashon of schach, obviously, being socheich on top of the kapores. So, if we know that the kruvim were 10 tfachim high, and their wings were spread above their head, and they were being socheich on top of the kapores, so it's obvious, says the Gemara, v'kapores parshul asar v'ksev v'yikruvim parshul k'navayim lamala sochim b'kanfayim ala kapores, k'ayrach mana schacha lamala me'asara. So it's obvious that wings of the kruvim were over 10 tfachim, and Rashi says, there's a Rashi right in the middle of the page here. Rashi says, "V'chziv sochim mekanfeim alma mekanfeim ulamata adakapores kari schach." That's called schach mekanfeim. It says what in the pasuk? Sochim mekanfeim lemala legabeyen ayu prusos. Alma tachas kanfeim asor tfachim chalal ala kapores for kari le'sukah. Ah, so we see there was airspace there was airspace underneath the wings of the kruvim of 10 amas, because we know that the aron was until 10 amas, the kruvim were 10 amas tall, the kruvim were spreading their wings above and making like a canopy, making a schach on top of the aron, so there was 10 tfachim of airspace, that's called schach. So it would come out, according to this limud, by the way, we started off the daf thinking that the reason that the sukkah had to be at least 10 tefachim high was a din in the mechitza, a din in the wall of the sukkah. What we're saying now is, no, it's not a din in the wall, it's a din in the schach, actually. And that the schach has to create 10 tefachim of airspace. Says the Gemara, Mimai degadfinu alaya reisha kaimi. Well, how do we know that when it says parshe kenafayim lamala, that it means that the wings were above their head, meaning that they were creating 10 tefach of airspace? Maybe the wings were at head level and were included in the 10 tefachim of height of the kruvim. Because it says lamala. So ve'ima demidli tuva. Well, maybe, how do you know their wings were just above, were creating a canopy just above the 10 tefachim of airspace? Maybe their wings were really outstretched. Maybe their wings were spread all the way up. So it says michsev lamala lamala. Does it say lamala lamala? No, it only says lamala. Okay, says the Gemara, both of these limudim, either the limud from the kapores and the aron, or the limud from the kruvim, where we were trying to figure out how tall the kruvim were, and we said that the kruvim were as tall as 1/3 of the height of the Mishkan itself. Hani chal Rameir. All this is great according to the Rameir. The Amar kol ha'amos hayu beinonios. That all of the amos were beinonios, were amos of shisha tfachim. Ela l'Rav Yehuda, the Amar amos shel binyan shisha tfachim. Vishel kelim chamisha, but if the ama of the kelim was chamisha tfachim, sama ikalameimar. So then we're up a creek, because we were saying that the aron is 9 tfachim because it was an ama v'chetzi and an ama 6 tfachim, so an ama v'chetzi is 9 tfachim, add the kaporas, which is a tefach that gets you to 10. But if an ama is an ama bash chamisha tfachim, then it's 5. Plus 2.5, which is 7.5. And then you add another tefach, so you're still at like 8 and change. So how does that work? So Michael Amemar, Arnva Kapores Kamahavilu, Tam Neopalga, it's 8.5. Pashalu Chatzrei. So now, Pashalu Chatzrei Upalga. So, and now, if you're trying to get up to 20 tvachim, because if we're going to learn it from the kruvim, right, where the kruvim were sochachim b'kanfehen, and we know that the aron plus the kruvim was 20 tvachim, so then we're trying to prove that there's got to be airspace of 10 tvachim, that only works, the math only works if it's 10 plus 10. But if the aron is only 8.5, now 20 minus 8.5 is 11.5. So does that mean that the sukkah's got to have 11.5 tfachim of airspace? So adavi chatzrei yapalga el Rav Yehuda hilchsa gemirila. No, Rav Yehuda must learn halacha l'Moshe miSinai. Tam Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav shiurin chatzisin umechitzin halacha l'Moshe miSinai. Because we learn that shiurin chatzisin umechitzin are a halacha l'Moshe miSinai. So Why are we saying that it's halacha l'moshe misinai? This is a much longer sukkah, which is going to continue until tomorrow. But why are we saying that it's halacha l'moshe misinai? Because the math only works if you're holding by an amah bas shisha tfachim. If you're holding by an amah bas chamisha tfachim, then the airspace that the kruvim created should have been 11 and a half, not 10. How do I know it's 10? Halacha l'moshe misinai. How's it halacha l'moshe misinai? So we're going to see that tomorrow, God willing, in the shir. Hope everybody has a great day.